Good morning. Most of us have had the opportunity of playing hide and seek, or we watch children play hide and seek, and we see one child off by himself counting. Sometimes they can't count very far, but they count and then they say, "Ready or not, here I come, ready or not, here I come." As I was thinking about being ready, the first question that nagged at my thoughts were, just what is ready? What does ready mean? Poised for action. I'll break it down further as we go. Most of us have seen, heard, watched rockets lift off. You hear the announcer's voice, 10, 9, 8, 7, and he gets down to liftoff. That rocket is poised and ready. But you know, as the countdown gets underway, sometimes there's pauses. I remember watching several rockets liftoff. Sometimes there's a pause at T minus 2 hours. That seems like a long way off. Sometimes it's T minus 2 minutes or T minus 30 seconds. The flight director is critical in the launching of a rocket. The flight director has the final say when everything is ready. I listened to a clip recently of when the Challenger disaster happened 28 years ago. And I was thinking, what an illustration. Everyone in the audience will know about that. And then I started thinking, probably half the audience only knows about that in history. As the flight director checked the areas of responsibility, he would say the area, and the person responsible for that would respond back by saying, repeating the area and saying, "Ready to go." And there was one person that responded, "I'll pass. Come back to me at the end." He wasn't sure if he was ready. It was in January the 28th of 1986. To some of us, that sounds like very recent. Some of us, it's a long time ago. Was when the flight director got clearance from everyone that the flight is ready to go. And everything looked normal for the first 45 seconds. And then disaster happened as the vessel exploded. All because of an O-ring. There were several people in that group that gave the flight director the clearance that they're ready to go that didn't quite feel ready, but they said they're ready. And the disaster happened. Any of those leaders had the power to stop the launch. All they had to do was tell the flight director, "I'm not quite ready." But they let the countdown continue. The last countdown pause was at T minus 31 seconds. At T 2 minutes, close to touchdown, the astronauts closed their helmets and turned their oxygen on. They were committed. They were ready. Just what does it mean when I'm ready? When I'm poised for action? It's hard to define ready without using ready. Available or in a condition for action. I'm reminded of a sprinter. The sprinter gets in position and is ready to take off, positions himself just right, and at the signal, everyone dashes forward just as fast as they can go. They are ready, they're poised. They're ready for the slightest indication that the signal is coming, and they're going. Prepared for activity. Make suitable or available for immediate use. Easily available or obtained. Ready means I'm instantly ready for action. I use the word ready to define ready. It's hard to not use it. Let me ask a few questions. What does it mean when Mom says, "Are you ready for supper?" I suppose it depends if you ask Mom or if you ask a busy teenager who is working on a project. I am suggesting that perhaps our definition of ready is determined by how or where we are in the situation. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to have Jesus return tomorrow? Ready or not, Jesus is coming back the way he left. When the call comes for flight, F-I-N-A-L, it means immediate departure. I'd like to use two verses as a text for this morning that we will be referring to frequently. I'm using the New King James this morning for most of these passages. And the paradox is, I'm using two texts or two verses, but it's the same words. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that's taken from both Matthew 24:44 and Luke 12:40. And there's numerous other verses I discovered in the Scripture that use similar words, alerting us that we need to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. When the rocket is launched, everyone is expecting the specific time. They know, in a sense, they know when it will be, or they know when it won't be, because as the countdown is paused for whatever reason, to give someone, some group, more time to get ready. I'd like to look at several different scriptures. And some of these will be, it'll be a reoccurring theme of the morning. Acts 1, verses 9 to 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go." As you saw him go into heaven. There is a lot of debate on exactly when and what needs to happen first before Jesus' return. But the overarching question is, are you ready? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. You know, there's two ways, in a sense, that we can face the return of Christ. One is, just like we read in Acts, he will return the way he left. The other is, when you and I breathe our last breath, or our heart beats its last beat, that is how we will meet Christ. And so, in a sense, the return of Christ can happen. Up until now, it has happened by people meeting death. That is the condition they will be in. I am reminded of a good friend of mine who I thought was an old man at the time he said this, but I discovered that I'm probably older than he was then. He was an eschatology student. He studied prophecy. He had a lot of interest in knowing what the scriptures say and trying to figure out what happens. Was he a pre, an ah? I don't know what he was for sure, but I know that he said, I don't know how Christ is going to return or when he's going to return. I have an idea and I think I can back it with scripture. But if I'm not right, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I'm ready to go, is what his words were. Even if it isn't the way I think it, the scripture says that it will be. And I think that's an important attitude to have, that I'm ready to go regardless how and when it is, if it is based on my thinking or not. More and more people today are saying the time is close. But the time was much closer for Jared when he was snorkeling a week ago than he had any idea. Reminds me of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in that place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. When a human dies, that is the state, that is the condition our hearts will be in when we meet heaven. We are, folks, one heartbeat away from meeting Jesus. That's a sobering thought, especially when I'm thinking in the terms of, are you ready? Am I ready? It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then shall each of us give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. For it is written, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. We'll be looking more at this in a few minutes. I'm just going to move on for now. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I remember hearing someone describe the fact that sound might be eternal. Sound is nothing but a mechanical wave. If you take a tuning fork, you know what a tuning fork is? That little metal thing that is used to tune. It vibrates at 256 cycles per second, and you hit that, and you hold it up to your ear, and what you hear is the middle C. 256 cycles a second. 256 hertz. That sound wave hits your eardrum, and it hits all of our eardrums at that same cycle rate. The theory is that those mechanical waves, once it started, is forever there. I remember when No, I don't remember who it was, but I remember the impact it had on my life when I was challenged with the thought of what would it be like if at the judgment day God would just hit the playback button and every word we spoke, it says, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned, Every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, God can do it many different ways. I don't know if God's going to hit the playback button. God wouldn't need to do that, but maybe he'll do it for our benefit. These mechanical waves make disturbances. They need a medium by which to move through. In space, the astronauts can't talk to each other like this. They have to have a radio because there's no medium to carry the mechanical waves. Or when you are in the middle of a lightning storm, why do you see the lightning before you hear the thunder crash? What does this have to do with be ready? If the lightning flashes, you see it first because it travels at 186,000 miles a second. Sound travels 1,100 feet. So you can, when you see in the middle of a lightning storm and you count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, that's your method of counting how many seconds it is. And if you can get up to 5, that means it's a mile away, 5,000 feet away. What would it be like if God would hit the playback button? Just like sound waves need a medium, you're hearing what I'm saying because there's a mechanical wave moving from my mouth towards you and hitting your eardrum. There is one thing that I want to make sure I say. So sound is eternal. We're going to give an account of every word we speak. That is scripture. That fact that we're going to give account. The only thing that can modify that is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can make the difference in modulating that, the medium, if once a sound wave is started. We will give an account of everything to God, of every word we spoke. That is, the scriptures tell us that. But the blood of Jesus can make all the difference in the world. And we can with confidence face God, knowing that he has at the tip of his fingers, as it were, the playback button. But when we have allowed the blood of Jesus to cleanse our hearts, it makes a world of difference. But I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Be ready is a theme throughout the scriptures. If it's said once in the scripture, it's enough to catch my attention. I'd like to read for you what the four gospels, all four of the gospels speak about this, and I'm just lifting out one of many. Let's go to Matthew 24. Starting at verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's Matthew. Let's now go to Mark. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to the servants, and to each his work, and commanded his keeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you asleep. And when what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Let's go to Luke. Be ye also ready, for an hour ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And let's go straight on to John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Watch, be ready is a theme in all four of the Gospels. And there's a lot of scriptures that give us a lot more detail. But the thrust, the theme is, be ready. The question I'm asking this morning, am I ready? I'd like to just read several samples of scriptures. And Matthew 25, verse 10, and when they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour. Philippians 4:5. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. James 5:9. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that ye should not be judged. Behold, the judge standeth at the doors. And moving on to Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And then there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 that most of us know, but I just want to read it for the sake of challenging us to be ready. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. For those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. We have a lot of detail here, a lot of information, but the thrust is we need to be ready because we don't know when it's going to be. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. I wonder what it would be like. And it seems the time is coming close. I'd like to read from 2 Peter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works which are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider the long-suffering of the Lord, of our Lord, is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to wisdom given to him, has written to you. I'm ahead of myself. As also in his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which some are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. I'm fascinated by this, where we have Peter saying that our beloved brother, how did he say, our beloved brother Paul has written to you in ways that some things are hard to understand. What would we think if Doug would say some morning in his sermon would say, what Mark was teaching last week was hard to understand? He's not criticizing what he's saying. He's simply matter of fact saying you have to think it through. You have to work harder to get what Brother Paul is saying, because what he writes is hard to understand. And there's one more passage that I would like to focus on, and I'm going to read it from the Message, taken from 2 Timothy 3, the first 6 verses. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. And as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsive, wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Steer clear of these people. These are the kinds of people who smooth-talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them. Women who, depressed by their sinfulness, take up with every new religious fad which calls itself the truth. This sounds like a pretty modern description of society. What he's suggesting is that as the end nears, things are going to get worse. The question is, not so much the details, but the question is, am I ready? We just read this verse, but I'd just like to underscore it from 2 Peter 3. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. That's a hard concept to deal with. What does being ready mean? How long is being ready? How long do I need to wait once I am ready? Sometimes we think when we reach a certain milestone in our life and we correct things that are not as they should be and we've done everything within our power and it's under the blood of Jesus, why doesn't Jesus just come? Why doesn't he take me quick before I change, before change happens, or I'm subject to making wrong choices? Some time ago, I preached a sermon here that I had entitled Numbering Our Days. And I just want to throw some of those slides back up. Some of you weren't here. Some of you didn't hear it. In that day, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Psalms 90, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, for as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I'm just going to throw some examples up to challenge me, to challenge you, to be ready. This passage in Psalms that we just read says that an average, it doesn't use the word average, but 70 years, 25,000 some odd days, or 613 hours. I'm 66 3/4. That is simply saying that I have lived this many days and this many hours. If I live to I'm 70, I have 3 1/4 years left to go, this many days and this many hours. I used our youngest son as an example. James turned 35 a couple weeks ago. That means he has lived half of his life. We don't know how many years God is going to extend to James. But it means that the countdown is underway. We have several people in this congregation. I use John Brenneman as an example, who has bonus time. We have no guarantee that we will have the bonus that John has had already. At 90, he has had a bonus of 20 years, this many days and hours. The countdown is underway. For John, when it hit 70, the countdown kept on going. And it was much longer to lift off than what it has been for other people. John, am I correct that your birthday is in July?
But I'm not 90.
Not yet.
I'll only be 89, the Lord willing.
I'm a year ahead of myself, John. Thank you for that correction. The challenge to each of us, whether we're 16 or 90, is, am I ready? When we look at a rocket being launched, the countdown is underway. It comes down, but it can be stopped to give more people time to be ready. I don't know how often the flight director, God, has stopped the clock. When a rocket is being launched, they can stop the clock and hold it for a certain length of time. And then they just pick up and go. There comes a point of no return. When certain things happen in the rocket, when the fuel is pumped from, when the engines are started. Have you ever noticed when the rockets are launching? The engines, you see the flames coming out from the bottom. And there's no movement. It is only after the engines are at full power and the rocket is almost vibrating that it has to go. It's ready. But the bolts haven't been blasted off yet to release that rocket until everything is ready. The question I'm asking myself this morning, as I look at giving account of myself, of my actions, of my words, are they eternal? Are sound waves eternal? That's sort of beside the point. But the question is, am I ready? Are you ready when God calls? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us the scripture and told us that it is important that we are ready, for we don't know when you are going to return, and we don't know when our last breath will be. I just pray that you would take the words that were spoken this morning and use them to challenge us to live ready to meet you. And it is such a privilege that we have that we can meet you with the blood of Jesus, having taken care of, so that we can meet you with a free conscience and we can meet you and be ready to go at any time. We hear the trumpet sound, whether that is through death or whether it is through Jesus' return. I just pray that you would bless us as we go and reflect on being ready to meet you. We look forward to that. We anticipate that. And we rejoice with the opportunity we have to meet you. In Jesus' name, amen.